Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Tuesday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Eliza Message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, we'll pray with you. Having a question about the lesson, we'll do our best in the Lord Jesus answer for you. If you're having comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you listening, hey, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you for this day once again you've made and this day that you have blessed us to see. And Lord, we thank you that we have another opportunity to go into the Word of God today, to know of your doings, your works, and the promises you have for us that lies within the written Word. So, Father, I pray today that, Lord God, that you will bless me to do the job that will be pleasing in your sight, to deliver your word to those who are listening, and I pray that they will be blessed by it. So, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Today, we are on part three, the Midnight Cry, Who Possessed the Power to Accomplish? The Midnight Cry, Who Possessed the Power to Accomplish? I want to take the time again to give a definition of the word able. And for those of you who are first-time listeners, Blog Talk Radio does record our past broadcasts. So after listening to part three tonight, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to part one and two, that you may be caught up to speed, because there will be, the Lord said the same, one last part tomorrow. Okay, I want to define once again the word able. The word able. And Webster defines the word able as having sufficient power, skill, or resources to accomplish an object. Once again, the word able means having sufficient power, skill, or resources to accomplish an object. We're going to come back from the Bible once again today, and we're going to go to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. The book of Numbers, chapter 13. The book of Numbers, chapter 13. I'm going to read at verse 1, but our key verse is going to be verse 30. And we're looking at in this series where the Word of God tells us who will possess the power to accomplish whatever the Lord said that needs to be done. Now, we looked at how that the Lord gave his angel messenger to tell us who will be able to labor and stand in his work. Amen. We looked at in part two from the Bible where God used Paul to tell us who will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and withstand in this evil day. And so the Word of God does declare distinctively and let us know that without a shadow of a doubt, who will be able to stand. the word of God doesn't come as if like it is unclear to it who would be able to do this or that. God is very clear, even through the using of his servants, to tell us who will possess the power to accomplish the object or the thing that is at hand that God said needs to be done. Now, in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 1, and the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel." Now keep that in mind. The Lord said, which he give unto the children of Israel. He told Moses, he said, send men to search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their father shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Verse 3 said, "And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." Now, this is interesting because the Bible plainly tells us, in a sense, what position that these men held that was sent out by command of the Lord to search the land that the Lord said he gives to the children of Israel. In fact, you know, God had been speaking to them, even coming up to this point, about how he had given them a land flowing with milk and honey. Even, you know, God would speak things ahead of time, hallelujah, before you actually step in it. Hallelujah, glory. So he has confidence in his power. That's never going to be an issue there. The issue always going to be with us as a people, that when we continue to walk by this faith, that will enable us to possess what he promised. Hallelujah. See, if you don't get what God promised, it's not his fault. Glory. I sense the Holy Ghost. It's like, you know, people, you know, you hear some people say, "Well, you know, the Lord promised me he would do this and do that, and he didn't do it." Well, my first thing, to be honest with you, is that I would check with myself. Because I guarantee you that many of you is among those that have said in testimony service and all that, that God could never lie. He's not a man that he should lie. What he promised, he do. But then when we in the trial, we talk a different story. Okay. So Moses, under the command of the Lord, is about to send these men to search out the land. And God was specific. He wanted the head of each tribe. This represented leadership. Okay. So Moses went to do and did exactly what the Lord said. Okay. And these men went in to search out the land. And then when we go to verse 23, it said, "And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from this a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff." There must be some big grapes, people. "They brought on the pomegranates and of the figs." Now, excuse me. Pomegranate is another good fruit. I drink pomegranate juice, and I bought the fruit one time, but I never did get to eat it. Very healthy, okay? But anyhow, verse 24 said, "The place was called the Brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from the searching of the land after 40 days." So they go into the land, search it out for 40 days, okay? They search out the land because under the command of God, hallelujah, glory, thank you, Jesus. And the Bible said in verse 26, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land." Okay, so now they show them the fruit. They show them the fruit of the land. They're coming back to Moses now. And Verse 27 said, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So they said, surely. In other words, to paraphrase it for you, yeah, well, God said it was going to be a land full of milk and honey. Surely that's what it is, okay? That's what it is. We see that. That's exactly what it is. God said that. That's what it is. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, verse 28. Now, here comes the problem, people, okay? You know, here comes that nevertheless now. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Okay. The Amalekites dwelled in the land of the south. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Now, along with Joshua, because remember, God told Moses to send out, quote, the leaders of each one of these tribes to go search out the land, and Caleb, rather, was of the tribe of Judah, okay? And so these men go there, and they come back, and it's like, you know, their report was like, okay, one part of what God said is true. But get this. Then it's like saying another part of God's report is not true. Because when you read in, and I believe it's Exodus chapter 33, that God told them that he would drive out, what, the Canaanites and these other nations from before. He told them that. So in one instance, they confirm part of what God says. Well, truly, it is a land flowing with milk and honey, but they would not confirm the other part. They said that the people in that place be strong. Okay? Now, and the city's wall, and very great, and more when we saw the children of Anak. Now, here's the question. You would say, well, how did they know the people were strong? I mean, did they wrestle with the people? Well, the Bible didn't say they had any kind of physical contact with the people. So basically, they was going off looks. Hallelujah. You know, what God promised you many times, it may look like you're not going to get it. That is impossible for you to possess it. These are what these men was looking at, but you find out in a minute, except Caleb. But these other leaders, now these were leaders, representing leadership today. Most of the leaders, even though they may have been given and told the promises of God, most of the believers are doing like, the leaders are doing like the people. They are going by sight or their senses. These men was going by their senses. They said the people too strong. We saw the children of Anak there, and we saw the Amalekites and the Canaanites and the Jebusites, the Hittites. They just naming all, you know. Have you ever had somebody to bring you like bad news upon bad news upon bad news, you know, to a point where you want to tell them, say, would you just stop? I really don't want to hear nothing else, you know. Where they, this news, this report that they was given was actually damaging the children of Israel, okay? So then why God tells us to be careful what we say to people. We all got to be careful what we say, okay? Because remember, they already were told by God before they got to this point here that God said, I got a land for them flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to drive out those inhabitants there. God already said it, but now, when you get to the point, because, see, God was allowing, quote, the testing of their faith by saying, okay, go tell them to search the land out. Go search it out. So These men bring back a report, say, hey, there's a land flowing with milk and honey, but we can't get it. How many people you heard that say today? I know God said I can be healed, but I can't get it. I know God promised me financial blessing, but I can't get it. Hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. And you start saying, well, why you can't? Because they're doing like these men here. They're looking, they're going by their senses and what they see, okay? And get this now, these are people in this time, if you look at it, translate over today, that have heard of the promises of God for their lives and for the lives of their family. But because of what they have seen, what they have picked up by their senses, they say, hey, we can confirm one part that's been said, but the other part, we can't confirm that. We just don't, we don't see that. They got, you know, they got some tall people in the land, people. And look at, you got all these enemies in that land. There's no way. You know, Satan will use his cohorts to try to block us from receiving our blessing. And so he will have multiple things coming at us. If you ever notice, for those who listen, and perhaps you're going through a heavy trial now, you notice that it ain't just mostly one thing coming at you. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had like so many things coming at so many different ways, like you like, what is going on? You know? But see, that is one of the pressure tactics of the enemy. It's to try to overwhelm us, you know, to the point that we say, man, I can't take this no more. Can't do, God ain't going to do it. He ain't going to do it. He ain't going to do it. You know, that's where he wants to get us to that point. So these men are looking at who all in the land. Then they say, oh, they strong, you know. But see, when you believe in the true and living God, and on top of that, true and living God has your back, you don't worry about who's there in the land. But they didn't see it that way. Verse 29, this is our key, verse 30 is our key verse. It said, and Caleb. Now remember, Caleb was one of the leaders who was sent to search the land. Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Because see, all this here and all this negative stuff, it would move people the wrong way. It would disturb people, okay? Amen. And see, Moses already faced so much with the people. I mean, whenever they come into a situation of, that seems like it's blocking them, they go to complain. So he already, you know, at different times, had to hear the people complaining and, oh, we should have stayed in Egypt, you know. And so Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to what? To overcome it. Hallelujah. Glory. We will have sufficient power, skill, and resources to overcome it. Why? Because Almighty God was a supporter of it. So those who will be able to possess the power to accomplish things that the Lord said need to be done in these last days will also be the Calebs, the ones that who believe by faith truly, because they knowing that what they're about to go into, God has their back. You understand that? Hallelujah. Caleb said, hey, let's go in and let's go up at once and possess it. Let's go in and get what God has for us. That's what Caleb said, people. Hallelujah. And those who are going to have the power to accomplish overcoming in all things are going to be the Calebs, are the ones that believe simply because God said it. They're not going to go by their sight, their senses, or what they see, They're going to say, come on, let's go and get what God has for us. Amen. See, stepping out by faith. Why? Because see, God got their back, people. Yeah, he had their back. Now, the other men that bring in an evil report, you look in verse 31, it said, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. How do you know? What are you doing? What are you looking at, number? Because we have no indication like you guys physically wrestle with the people. What do you, you know, sometimes I say it like this. Naturally, when we look at a person with big muscles, we say, oh, he's strong. Without seeing him lift nothing, get physical with you or anything, we say he's strong. But sometimes you'll find out that that's not always the case with many people. Some people can be big or have look like big muscles and really not strong like you think. Now, I know for some of y'all that's hard to comprehend, but it's true. Some people can look like they, as they call buff or big, but you look at them, you say, oh, man, I know he's strong. He can do such, such. And you'll be surprised. You go, man, I thought you could. Amen. I mean, through the years, I've seen some guys that was big. And I thought that way, too. I'm like, man, they strong. And you come find out they could move a certain thing. You go, what? You'd be kind of shocked, huh? So these men who went with Caleb is giving one report, and they're giving another, which shows us that they're going to be more speaking unbelief than those that are speaking faith, and they're going to be more who will not accomplish the thing that God said to be done than those who will accomplish. You understand that? Because this field is going to narrow down. You got many people saying they believe in God, they for God, and all that. But see, these trials is going to tell the truth, people. If anything show you the value of something, and we can look at this case we're dealing with the people of God, show you what position or condition they're in, it's going to be a trial that brings out the truthfulness about that person. I don't care how much hallelujahs they threw up, how much roll around, spitting on the floor and everything, it don't matter. Once that trial come through, you're going to start seeing who for, and see, this is the thing. These leaders, now these are leaders now, who's bringing this report. You got one leader bringing a faith report, and another leader bring it, and other leaders bring it a report of unbelief. And today you have many of your leaders, some of your ministry, who gives evil reports. Okay? Who see those who are sick and would tell them, say, child, let the will of the Lord be done. Yeah. Be telling them like it's God's will for them to be sick. Because they'll turn around and tell us, well, child, you know, that disease, you know, that sickness, doctor say ain't no cure. So just let God's will be done and go on. Amen. You know, Brother Kenneth Hagin, late Brother Kenneth Hagin, he testified that he had a incurable blood disease. And I think it was his pastor came to his house and he just told his son, let God will be done. And basically telling Kenneth Hagin, just go ahead and go on and die. It's God's will for you to be like this. Amen. Amen. And we were telling him, wasn't it? What was that? What do you think they were doing to the faith? Amen. See, many people's faith has been train wrecked and hurt and wounded because some leaders have been coming giving a bad report about certain things. They give a report according to their senses.
my child, it's too much for you. You can't make it through this. And then on top of that, especially if you're sick, you telling people, let the Lord's will be done. Well, if it's God's will to be sick, who you going to believe to get your healing? Because if it's God's will for you to be sick, people, you can't go past God. You can't get higher than God. So if the highest of the highest telling you that it is his will for you to be sick, my Lord, where you go? Who you gonna have faith? Who gonna bring you through? Ain't nobody left. Ain't nobody left. So Joshua is saying, "Hey, we can take it. We can take it. We can go up there. Let's go up there and possess the land." Because remember, God had already told him, those who will have the power in these last days to overcome, it's going to be the Calebs. It's going to be the ones that believe that, hey, we can possess that what God said that is ours. Do you believe that you can possess what God has said is for you? You know, the word of God tells us what God has for us, that what we inherited. The word of God tells us that. Do you believe? Or are you going to look at the Amalekites or the Hittites, the Jebusites and all those ites that seem to be in your way, all these enemies? Satan would send his cohorts to try to block you from possessing what God has promised you. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you have been listening to some leaders who've been giving reports of doubt and unbelief. Some of you have been listening to people who've been giving reports of faith. Who are you going to listen to? Some of you have been given a word by God through someone that the Lord promised to do this for you. And even in that thing that he promised, you have managed to look at your circumstances and say, I can't get it. I can't, you know. See, whatever God promised us, whatever's hindering you, if you believe God because he promised it to you, you can overcome whatever's hindering you. But see, and let's go for any of us. Anything that the devil throws at us to try to hinder us from possessing what God has promised us, whether it's healing, financial blessing, or whether it's deliverance, whether it's peace, whatever it may be, whenever the devil is throwing up something to try to hinder us, if we believe God because he said that, hey, it's yours, we will have the sufficient power to overcome it, to overcome the enemy, okay? But people, long as we sitting there and we just like being like the other men, there's no way we can, you know, it's too many enemies in the land. Too many enemies in the land. Remember the woman with the issue of blood in the Bible? Remember there was a crowd before? Well, she could have very easily said, it's just too many people. Ain't no way I'm going to get to Jesus. And I can't, you know, get through that. And this woman didn't let nothing stop her from getting to Christ. Now, remember, she had the issue of blood for 12 years. So let's say, for example, if she was hemorrhaging, you know, and over the 12 years, you know, many times when you start constantly losing blood, you get weaker, people. You get weaker, okay? You get weaker. And imagine she had to press through the crowd after suffering the issue of blood for 12 years. Now, you can imagine how she was feeling in her body, but she didn't let what she was feeling in her body dictate the thing of her getting healed. Caleb did not allow these enemies he saw in the land to dictate whether they could possess it or not. The other men did, because they looking at them and say, hey, they too strong for us. Now, they could be saying too strong because of numbers, because they saw a lot of them, which maybe appeared to be more than what the children of Israel were, or they could have been taught by the number. But see, we haven't been given no indication, according to the word of God, that they had any physical contact with these people. So apparently, either they was looking at them by number, or they was looking at them by size and just saying, oh, they're stronger than us. And, you know, it's natural for humans to do that. Okay. Like I said, you know, you look at a bodybuilder or, you know, and you look at the big muscles and automatically say, well, he's strong, you know, without seeing him lifting a weight, without him getting physical with you, you'll say he's strong. And naturally that's what human does, because the humans are look. So that bodybuilder, he don't even have to lift a weight. If you see he got big muscles, you automatically think he's strong. And so these men was going by their senses. Caleb was going by faith. Let's go in and possess what God has for us. The ones who are going to possess the power to accomplish and overcoming the enemy that is in front of them, trying to block them from possessing what God promised them, are going to be Caleb's. They're going to be the ones that say, hey, by faith, let's go do this. See, everybody that's in the church saying, Lord, Lord, they're not going to be representing properly. I'm telling you right now. Everybody's not going to be the Calebs. You're going to have more being the other men than being the Calebs. This is what the word of God is showing us here, because it was more of them saying, we can't do it. And you know, here in society, many times, humans go with the majority, okay? So with many people, the majority is always the one to go with or is always right. And you'll find in some cases that is simply not true. You know, hallelujah. And this was one of the cases. Though more men spoke against doing it, but one man spoke for it. The man that spoke forward was the one that was right. Glory to God. Thank God for Jesus, people. So remember, if you choose to walk by faith towards the things that God promised you, including your healing, please hear me, people, including your hearing, or whatever you stand in need of, promising the word, then you will possess the power, hallelujah, to receive that which you stand in need of. Dear Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this day you made and created. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to deliver this word, this message to your people. And I pray, Lord God, that it will reach them and that you would anoint it, that it may bring you glory and honor. And Lord, I praise you and magnify you, for you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for the blessed word of God, and hopefully the Lord said the same tomorrow. We'll be back for part four. Once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Elijah message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.